deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Neighborhood Association President.
Mr. Neighborhood Association President.
You campaigned for weeks, held barbecues, shook hands, and kissed babies. Now, you are in complete control of the planned community covenants, and you rule with an iron fist.
A development dynasty.
Yes, Mr. Neighborhood Association President, you enforce fence heights, garbage container uniformity, and lawn watering schedules armed with the wisdom of King Solomon.
Is my hedge too high, Your Grace?
You even judge the holiday decorating contest.
And your house always wins, yeah.
So the next time you're digging up your mailbox post because it's 1.5 inches too short, put down your shovel and raise your arm and salute to the Sultan of Suburbia, Mr. Neighborhood Association President, a real American hero.
Mr. Neighborhood Association President.
What? No, I wasn't going to put in a pool. No, not me.
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning, Kara.
You're supposed to say the date and good morning to everybody first.
Well, I'm getting ready for that. It's Tuesday, July 27th.
He's tripping us up,
don't
guys.
Don't tell me what I'm supposed to say. I know.
You did it differently.
I do it differently every day.
No, you always
go. To add some color.
No, you don't. You usually go, good morning. It's Tuesday the 20 whatever. Good morning, Kara. Or however you say it in your accent.
Yeah, well.
That's funny. You're trying to trip us up. So,
You're giving me a hard time about my accent already? We haven't even started yet.
No, it's just a slight accent, but it's funny.
Yeah. I know. I listen to the show. I can tell. Yeah.
You can?
Yeah.
Do you not like your accent?
No.
Really?
Never have, no.
It's so slight.
Yeah, I know. But nevertheless, you know.
It's not a big
people
deal.
Always pick it up. Yeah, but
they
I
just
learned
ask
to embrace
you,
it.
They just you ask know. You where you're from, right?
Right, yeah. I mean, this is 34 years later, you know. But what can you do?
So let's compare our mornings real quick.
Okay.
You started off with Krispy Kreme.
Yeah. Started off with a donut this morning.
And I started off with my period and a parking ticket.
What? Really? Again?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And so, welcome week.
Yeah.
Welcome to this week.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's going to be okay. It's always a good day.
Yeah.
It's one of those I overslept, and then I was like, oh, man, I got to move my car.
Oh, wow.
And I'm running down the street, no
bra.
And
you were too late?
Yeah.
Too late.
Running down the street, holding my boobs in one arm, and then, you know, hustling, you know, and
holding
barefoot.
Her in one arm.
Yeah, I'm like strapping them
I
down, and I'm running,
that.
And I'm like, leave my car alone! Leave it alone! Oh, I got there, it's too late.
Wow, how terrible. How much is it?
$60.
Really? But what parking, like, what is it
street
like?
Cleaning.
Street cleaning?
Yeah, do you guys have underground parking, I guess, with your...
Yeah, we do, but I see a lot of people getting tickets on the street.
I used to live in an apartment complex that had underground parking.
Yeah.
See what you're missing, people out in the Midwest?
There you go, you see?
Crappy parking situations.
Yeah. Well, you chose Hollywood, that's part of the ride.
Oh, man, they're ruthless, huh?
Yeah.
And then the period started.
And there's no parking anywhere in Hollywood.
There isn't parking. Sometimes I'll be outside looking for parking for like 20, 30 minutes before I even go in my house.
Really? How terrible.
That's usually at a certain peak hours because I live by all these cool places. But, it still is worth it.
Yeah, is it?
You know, to live where I live, it's pretty much the coolest spot.
Yeah.
It's one of the coolest
I can
spots.
Imagine the last thing you can afford right now is a parking ticket.
Well, you know, I'll take out a loan.
Yeah, what are you going to do,
what
right?
What are you going to do?
Eat one less donut.
Yeah, I'll try not to get 8 of them and I'll be good.
Yeah.
I think I'm up to 3. I got 3 I got to pay.
Yeah.
I got one when I was out of town.
Wow.
One of my friends was slipping. She didn't move my car.
Mm-hmm. That's terrible, man.
Yeah.
And on my street, they always try to trick people, you know, because they have a fire hydrant, but they didn't put red zone.
That is the meanest thing. Just put red.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Let's just
Why don't they? Because they want to bust people.
Exactly. Leave out the ambiguity and just put red.
Exactly.
For no.
You know, and people get tickets there every day. Every day, people fall in the trap.
Oh, they do. They fall in the trap.
Yeah.
The fire hydrant trap?
It is. That's exactly what it is.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's parking in L.A. for you. What are you going
to
do?
Let's go back to that Krispy Kreme situation.
You want to go back to Krispy Kreme.
Okay, so what happened? Okay. You said they're good out of the, they're good when you buy them fresh.
They're amazing when you buy them right out, when they come out of the oven, you know? Have you ever seen them make them?
Uh-uh.
Yeah, they have like a conveyor belt and everything, you know, and it just goes like dozens and dozens of them just go through. And when it comes out, it just melts in your mouth. It's so good.
See, the thing is, I don't hang around Krispy Kreme places.
Yeah, I don't very much either.
I'd walk in and it'd be like a magnet. All the donuts would stop being made and they would just float towards me and stick.
Yeah.
They'd be like, they're like, what happened to all our donuts? I'm like, hey guys, what's going on?
I mean, you know, the way they come out and how light they are, it would be easy to eat a half a dozen right away.
Half a dozen. I thought we were going to go for a dozen. The half a dozen's not.
Well, you'd get sick after a
really?
Few.
Really? Too sweet?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I mean, I could go for a good donut throwdown right now. I didn't have breakfast. What'd you guys eat today? I don't want to hear about it because I'd be jealous. Anyway, forget the Krispy Kreme thing.
So is that because you were running late? You didn't have time to eat?
Yeah, I just didn't get breakfast, but that's okay. I'll make up for it. I always do.
Okay, cool.
I always make up for it. Ain't no meal gonna escape my jaws. Ain't gonna escape my jaws. So are you still reeling from Vegas? So you guys stayed at a really, really nice place. What
it
all did you
really
do?
Nice
you didn't
hotel.
You didn't gamble, but what'd you do?
No, I didn't gamble, really. So what else do you have to do? You know, we sat by the pool for a little bit. We drove around. We went to a couple of hotels, like to the casinos.
Uh-huh.
Walked around, and that's
did you go to any
it,
shows?
You know? No, we didn't go to any shows, yeah.
But what about good restaurants, good food? Because apparently Vegas has good food.
Yeah, I know, but then you have to start going through... I mean, I don't know any good restaurants there, so then you have to go through the casinos, through each hotel to find something, and I didn't want to go through that. So finally, we just came back, and we just grabbed something small to eat, you know. So, yeah, Vegas is not a good place for me, you know. I mean, I lived there twice, you know. I lived there in the 70s. And in the 90s,
it was okay there.
There's
nothing about Vegas that would ever make me want to pack up the car and move there.
Right.
Like, why would you ever want to live in Vegas?
Well, it does have some great
like
things.
Like what?
You know?
Heat?
It's rent is much cheaper there.
Yeah, well, so is freaking Arkansas.
Gas is cheaper.
So is Arkansas.
Yeah, but Vegas is sort of alive, you know. But I got to say, you know, if you're not on the Strip, it's not as alive as you would think.
No, it's pretty like pretty much just relaxed and kind of slow paced. If you're not on the Strip, right?
Yeah. But you're right. I mean, there's not much going on as far
He's
as...
like, you're right. Why did I move there twice?
There. Yeah, why did I live there?
Why did you live there twice? So you moved there when you were a kid.
It was nice because it wasn't as crowded back then, you know?
Yeah.
So it was cool.
Yeah. Vegas is okay.
Yeah. But the reason I moved back there after I lived in L.A. is because I got a job there in computer animation. I was working for a computer game company.
Oh.
Yeah, so I lived there for a couple of years, but then I came back here, you know.
That's funny.
I also worked for Debbie Reynolds. She had a hotel and casino back then.
What did you do with her?
I worked, her son developed a Hollywood museum.
Uh-huh.
And I was doing a lot of 3D animation and stuff like that, you know, visualization. I did a lot of stuff with video and graphic design a lot, you know. So
yeah.
That's what I did there. And then she lost the hotel because she had terrible people managing it.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. So she lost a lot of money there.
Bad managers. What made them so bad?
They drove it to the ground, I suppose. I don't know exactly what happened there, but I just know that it doesn't exist anymore.
That sucks.
Yeah,
it does. So the key, like if you, let's say you have a restaurant concept or something you want to do, a casino, you can be like the founder of it or the owner, and then you can just have a whole different management company come in, manage it, staff it, right?
Right, yeah. Or you hire your own managers to do it, you know. But you can't do it yourself. It's way too much.
Yeah.
You know. And casinos especially. I mean, there's so much compliance and laws you have to observe and things. So.
But you can go in and eat every day for free. I would hook
that.
Wow.
If you owned the casino, you would pay for food as, you know, you'd be just fine paying for your food, you know.
No, just go in. No. When I used to work at a restaurant, the owner and his wife came in every damn morning, and she wanted her freaking egg whites a certain way, and she, you know, and then he wanted certain things, and this couldn't touch that. It was really crazy. But they did that, and they didn't pay.
Yeah, but that's a restaurant, you know?
Yeah, I'm talking about, well, whatever. You got your restaurant going on.
Yeah.
I think I'll buy one day just so I can eat for free every day. that's economically smart. So that's how I'll do it.
Yeah.
Walk in, have a fanfare.
Yeah.
You know.
So yesterday I went to get my iPhone.
You said you posted something on that.
Yeah, I was really irritated because, you know, I had to wait 2 weeks for it to come in. Then they sent me an email and they said, okay, it's in, you can come pick it up. So I go there, and first of all, at the Apple stores, if you've ever been there, there's nobody that can help you because there's no like counter or anything, you know. So what happens is you just have to find like a salesperson and, you know, and have them help you. The problem is they're always busy with other people. So what are you supposed to do? You walk in the middle of the store and you're just like lost. You don't know what the hell you're supposed to do. You know, there's no place where you can just go and say, I'm picking up my phone. So finally, I find someone and I said, look, you know, I got the email and I'm here to pick it up. He says, yeah, you and all these people outside. So there was a line outside to get an iPhone. And I'm thinking to myself,
come on,
what the
people.
Fuck? I've waited 2 weeks already. You know, now I have to stand in line. And so I stood there for a few minutes. I realized this line's not moving. You know, there were like 15 people before me and stuff. And I thought, you know, it seemed to me like they're taking one person every 15 minutes. And I thought, I'm going to be standing here for hours. So I finally gave up. I just, you know, after half an hour, I just left.
Half an hour?
Yeah.
You understand how hard it is to get people to actuate. It's hard to get people to leave their house, come to a show, pay money, da da da. It's hard to get people to do stuff in a busy, busy world, and everybody's right. Got a million things to do. So it's a phenomenon to me to see these people that they're back ordered on these iPhones. They still order it anyway. They get the email, says come pick it up, and then they come and they wait in line.
Exactly.
That is a lot of work as a consumer.
It is.
You know?
It is. You know.
And, I just don't understand why people want it so badly.
I said, you know, I decided
to ship it to your damn house.
Fuck the phone. I don't need it. You know.
Oh really?
Yeah.
That's funny.
So yeah, I just left, and then later on I thought, you know what? I'll try again and see whether the line's shorter or longer.
And.
So I went back. And after about an hour's wait, I got it.
You waited for an hour?
Yeah, I waited for an hour, but it wasn't as bad as the line before, you know. There were like 10 people before me, and at that point, they had more people taking care of customers. So it moved faster. So another hour, and I finally got the goddamn thing.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So
I would hate it after that. I'd get it and I'd probably throw it.
No, you don't want to throw it. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Whatever. So, but then what about the whole antenna issue? I thought you still bought it with that, or is this not
the funny thing is my first call dropped already.
That's funny.
but I don't know. All subsequent calls were just fine, so I don't know.
Really?
Have you seen it yet? Should I show it to you?
Let me see it.
It's pretty cool. They made it like really thin. You see?
This is the new iPhone 4. Is it called the iPhone 4?
Yeah. And you see it's got obviously all the icons. It's got glass in the back and the front.
Okay. But I thought the antenna was a big issue. And
yeah, the antenna goes around here. You see around the frame, the metal frame.
Okay.
So if you hold it like this, what you're doing is you're sort of deactivating it, you know, when you're holding it in your hand. So I don't know. I guess you just have to figure out how to hold the damn thing.
I can't believe you still bought it after we reamed them on the show for how dumb it was. You're like, who is so stupid that it took them so long to figure it out? And you bought one. And
I know. I bought one. I'm a fool just like everybody else.
And you waited in line for an hour.
But, you know, I mean, I didn't have to have it, but my previous one broke, you know, and the glass is shattered and stuff. So I thought it's time to get a different one.
Your life better be pretty complete now.
Yeah.
That thing better, like, keep you, you know, super satisfied in life.
Yeah.
Man, that's nuts.
Yeah. Listen, we got a call. Our guest is calling, so let's see whether that's them. Good morning. You're on the air with Sam and Kara. Hello. Is this our guest? Dr. Edlund.
I hope so.
Yes.
I'd be really disappointed if it was someone else.
I see. Okay. Good morning to you. Where are you calling us from?
Sarasota, Florida.
In Florida. Is it humid and hot?
Yeah, waiting
there
on the Gulf Coast for the tar balls.
I see. Are they heading your way?
Perhaps not. Oh. The currents usually go in a different direction.
I see. Okay. Well, maybe you're safe for now. Who knows?
career.
Yeah. So we're talking to Dr. Matthew Edlund, and you wrote the book The Power of Rest. And why sleep alone is not enough. Why don't you tell us a little bit about this? I thought sleep, I thought I'm tired just because I don't sleep enough, and I don't. You know, I get about 5.5 hours of sleep. So so tell us a little bit about that. Why is sleep not enough?
I think that rest is not what most people think of rest as, sort of passive laziness. To me, rest is how the body rebuilds and renews itself. And that's a process that's both vast and fast. My book is a 30-day program, and you use it to control weight, markedly decrease your chance of serious illness, and increase productivity, passion, and pleasure in daily life.
Right.
So to me, rest is a whole new ballgame. Most people have thought of illness as your body's machine breaks down. I think of illness as the rest rebuild is delayed or corrupted. And when that happens, and people get sick, they need to rest more.
Right.
And sleep is a critical part of rest, but it's just part of rest. It's passive rest. And in active rest, you get four different main kinds. You have physical rest, mental rest, social rest, and spiritual rest. And when you can combine those two together and use active rest techniques, you literally activate those processes that rebuild and renew your body. And that becomes a program of private health insurance that you control and no one can take away from you.
Right. Now, what do you mean by active rest? I mean, you know, when people think of rest, they think I'm going to take a nap. So what is it? What can people do in order to be able to rest?
There are many different kinds, and the book has basically more than one technique per day for the first 30-day program. So most people know about things like deep breathing. They know about meditation. But even things like sex can be viewed as a form of social rest, where you connect with people.
It depends on how you're doing
it,
though,
right? Which has a lot of profound health effects.
Right.
What?
I said it depends on how you're doing that sex, right? I mean, it could also be a great little workout.
It always depends on how you do things. Yes.
So you develop.
It also depends on who you do them with.
That's true. But, I mean, you know, I just.
Yeah, some people wouldn't call it rest. They'd call a lot of activity, you know.
They'd call it a nice, good workout, you know, and then you do the rest part afterwards, but whatever.
Well, I think the rest part is the fact that you're connecting with someone, hopefully someone you love and care about and who understands you. And when you do that, you really can do things that will renew and rebuild body tissues. And that's what I think is really critical to health. People don't see their bodies as anything but a static machine. We're so used to working with machines that we think we are machines.
Right.
But we are not. We rebuild, we renew, and we do it on a really fast basis. The group at Einstein Medical School will tell you that you essentially get a new heart in 3 days.
Really?
That's how quickly, yes, on a cellular level, everything is getting replaced. The proteins that are pumping in your heart and keeping you alive, they last 60 minutes, 90 minutes, 120 minutes. They're pulped and recycled. We rebuild ourselves all the time. And the trick is to do those things that make that process work.
Right. Now, obviously, you're familiar with sleep as well and stuff. What is the... you mentioned something interesting. You say during our sleep, we regenerate our skin and muscles and brain and so forth. Can you discuss that a little bit?
If you do something as simple as walk for 20 or 30 minutes, if you go out and walk for 20 or 30 minutes, you walk across the street, preferably with someone, preferably in nature, you're going to grow new brain cells. You're going to grow them during sleep, and you're going to grow them in memory areas, as if you're building new memory storage. Mm-hmm. We redo ourselves all the time. Dreams are just the skin surface, just a byproduct of this amazing process where we literally put together new and old memories and create new ones.
Right.
And create new thoughts. That's just part of what sleep does. That's just part of what rest does.
Right.
If we actively rest, we can really make ourselves healthy.
I see. Well, you know, I mean, that totally makes sense. Now, what do you recommend as far as how many hours of sleep are effective for the body?
It depends on whether you're an internet radio show interviewer.
Oh, host, right.
Because then you obviously need much less sleep than the rest of the population.
I don't think so. We walk in here every day very tired.
Well, a lot of people tell me they're tired of being tired, and they just right. haven't figured out what the real power of rest is.
Right.
They just see it as pretty much a waste of time. Most of the population will do pretty well if they get 7 to 8 hours of sleep. Some people need 2 or 3, some people need 9 or 10. It's genetically varied.
Right.
But the real question is, when do you feel rested? And if you wake up in the morning and you feel alert, awake, and aware, then chances are you're getting enough sleep.
Right. But
I feel
like
that most of the time.
Do you?
Mm-hmm, I do.
You feel rejuvenated in the morning?
Yeah, like I woke up on my own this morning pretty early.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's good.
And
so tell us.
You felt like singing as soon as you got up?
Right.
I was like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah, she always sings, yeah.
Good morning, day. Bring on. I got my period, and I got a parking ticket, but I'm still good. I'm ready to go.
So social rest, you were talking about that. What does that mean? I mean, what is it, like taking a break from being with people?
No, it's taking breaks to be with people, yeah. You, on the job, if you don't take breaks, you make mistakes. You got to pace your life. You can't race through life. And social connections are a really critical factor in keeping us healthy. They're a big factor in preventing heart disease and stroke. They probably cut back on cancer risk. They really are a big factor in terms of overall mood and preventing depression. And there's many, many different ways of getting social connection. And in the book, The Power of Rest, I've got a whole bunch of different techniques, some of which can be done in less than a minute. But you really want to have a lot of different kinds of social connections, because that's what keeps people surprisingly healthy.
Right.
I do that. Yeah. I have potlucks once a week, and then I go out a lot. Gosh, I'm just healthy.
Yeah, she's very healthy as far as social goes, yeah. And spiritual rest, you mentioned meditation and that sort of thing. So I guess all that is included in the book. The book is The Power of Rest, A 30-Day Plan to Reset Your Body. And, well, this sounds fascinating, Dr. Edlund, and we appreciate this. I mean, now I learned that I probably should think about rest a little more than I do now, you know, because like you said, you know, I mean, most of us think sleep is enough. And, you know, so what I try to do is get more of it and take a nap or something. But, that doesn't seem to be enough, you know.
No, naps can be very useful, but people are always telling me how tired they are, how tired of being tired. We basically have a different level of alertness throughout the 24-hour day. The American model of sleep is lie down and die.
Right.
You know, it's like turning off a light switch. That's not actually how we function. We actually have periods where we're more up and periods where we're more down in terms of alertness. And what you want to do is use active rest techniques to get yourself up when you're feeling slow and calm yourself down when you're feeling stressed. So it's really a game of modulating. It's a game of trying to make your day more musical, more flowing.
Right.
And I think music is in our genes. I think we really are deeply rhythmic, and that a lot of our cellular communication is rhythmic. So that if we can set a pattern for the day, set a pace for the day, times for activity, times for rest, time for social rest and connections with people, time for spiritual rest where we connect with things larger than oneself,
right,
that can really make the day flow and be much more productive.
Right, right. Well, this is cool. Can you give us your website so we can go and find out more?
Sure. It's therestdoctor.com, just straight, all the letters together.
Right, therestdoctor.com. And the book, of course, is The Power of Rest, Why Sleep Alone is Not Enough. Doctor, thank you so much for your time.
Thank
we
you
appreciate
so much.
This. And everybody go out and get the book. I think it's pretty fascinating. And you can find out more on the website. So thank you and all the best to you, sir.
I hope you rest well.
We will. You
yeah,
too.
We will. Now we will. Thank you.
Bye.
So that's pretty cool.
He sounds rested.
Yeah.
He was
hello. Yeah.
Well, I'm just by my beach.
I know. I need to rest some more. I think, yeah, we should go to the beach or something. That's good rest.
Yeah.
But social rest, I thought it was like take a break from people, you know. But he says, no, this is a
no,
break.
No, he's like, get your fun
time
in. I really believe that laughing really is, they say it's medicine. And I think just being with each other and having fun, it just reminds you of what matters. And it just creates hope and kind of refuels you so you can do the mundane things of life.
Right.
You know, if all you're doing is mundane, checking off the boxes, point A, point B, bull crap, then it's not that fun.
Yeah. Do you manage to get any naps during the day?
I can't nap.
Really?
Sometimes I get really tired and I can't. I barely can nap. I have to be like drugged up to nap.
Really?
Yeah, but they call me grandma because I, you know, because 11 o'clock I want to go to bed. I don't know if that makes me a grandma, but they're, you know, sorry, I don't want to stay up till 2 or 3 in the morning and chit chat all day.
Yeah,
and, night.
And those are people probably that take naps during the day and they
do.
Tell you
they
that.
They do,
right?
And they wake up later.
Yeah.
It's funny.
But, you know, I mean, you'd be amazed. Even half an hour of just lying there, you don't even have to fall asleep, mm-hmm. I think will really make you feel better. You know, I find that, you know, if I take a nap and stuff, although my naps sometimes take 3 hours, but if I don't get awakened by something, but you know,
3 hour nap. Ooh.
Yeah.
That's long. When I worked at Starbucks and I'd open in the morning, I'd be at work at 4:30, get off at noon. I'd be off by noon. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, I have the rest of the day. No, you don't. You're going to sleep for those other 4 hours.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you go to bed and you wake up like early evening and you're like, oh, okay. Now I'm ready to do something.
Totally screws up your day.
So it wasn't good.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Oh, well, you're just saying, huh?
I'm just saying.
You're just saying. All right, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back right after this.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
Spins around. phone and jump in on the conversation. Dial 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815 and get in on the fun. Now, let's get back to Sam and Karen in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
So we're talking about Apple, and apparently they launched a new product now.
Oh my gosh. It's
called the Magic Trackpad. And it lets you actually use gestures just like you do on the iPad and the iPhone and with your desktop computer, you know. So it's kind of like half of the, you know how on the laptop you you gesture with your fingers and stuff to
what does that mean? We're talking
mouse.
About, we're like move your finger around? Is
yeah,
that you
moving
gesture?
Your fingers around, right.
We're not talking like flipping
right.
burrs and stuff.
No, rather than move a mouse, you're moving your hands and your fingers over the surface.
Okay.
And so they created that so you can use it with a desktop computer, and it seems pretty innovative, but for $70, I don't know if you really need it, you know? I mean, and especially when you're used to a mouse. I mean, for crying out loud, when I use a laptop, I prefer to attach a mouse to it. It's a lot easier than that little pad that you use. You
oh,
know?
Really? I'm used yeah. to the little pad. My
I know. I'm used to it, too, but it's not as much fun, I think.
Really?
You know, especially when I do graphics and things like that, you know? It's like you need more precision.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I think that, like, Apple's just really just, you know, they are pulling so many fast ones on America.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they're not giving good product, but it's just they are churning and burning, and they have just got such, you know, buying power. I mean, they have such an audience that is
they do they
chomping
do.
At the bit to buy something.
Right.
And they're just like, yeah, we're going to keep making crap. It's good crap.
Yeah,
but we're just
it's good
keep
crap,
making,
but,
we're
going to
just keep making it. Magic pad, iPad, touchpad, pad me up.
Yeah, and shitty customer service, you know, but the funny thing is it doesn't matter how bad it is, people will still buy their products, you know?
Really?
Yeah, because their products are that good, I guess. And I don't know, Apple has always known how to create sort of like coolness, you know, to gadgets and things like that. So
yeah, I mean, no, it's I'm not knocking the company or the product. It's just crazy the buying power, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they capture the audience so quickly. I mean, globally, like boom, 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 boom.
Right.
Yeah, they're gonna come out with new stuff. They're gonna start doing like, hey, Apple has a new eye relationship. You
yeah.
don't need real people. Just plug in, and then a virtual person pops up.
Yeah.
They don't talk back. Unless you want them to.
Yeah, they don't talk back, huh?
They just sit there.
Yeah.
Hang out with you.
So tell us a little bit about your show on Friday. What can I expect if I come
here? Okay, everybody. That's what you can expect. The Downtown Los Angeles Comedy Club. I'm going to be doing a really cool spot there.
Comedy spot.
Comedy.
Not singing,
comedy.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, the comedy that I do is very character driven. So a lot of it's, you know, me kind of going into impersonations. It's also talking about my mom and my growing up experience. Probably going to do some jokes about going to my high school reunion this year. You know, I mean, it's just it's very high impact funny. It's
right.
high energy. I'm not deadpan.
Have you tested your ideas and your
oh,
funnies?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I didn't just start yesterday. I've been doing this for a while. So, yeah, I'm kind of good
no, but
at
I
it.
Mean, you probably have new jokes and stuff.
Yeah, I have some new stuff. I've been working on my mom material. My mom has been married 6 times.
Mm-hmm.
And she's
that's good material right there.
I mean,
huh?
There you go. That's all I got to say. Bye. That was my material. Figure it out. She's been married 6 times. And, I mean, she calls, leaves weird messages. She slurs her words. She's addicted to pills. I mean, it's one of those things.
Yeah.
So I had a really crazy growing up experience, needless to say.
Yeah.
And she's so larger than life that I can't, you know, not use and exploit
yeah,
her.
That's true.
I
yeah.
can't not use and exploit her. So there's that. You know, just I find that being vulnerable is good with comedy because it connects people. So like,
yeah.
I'm going to talk up. I like when I go back to my high school reunion, I'm going to actually share embarrassing moments
yeah.
in high school because I think they're funny.
And
but some people
self-deprecating stuff.
I'm not that self-deprecating,
no.
but I'm just I do make fun of myself, but
yeah.
I don't like, you know, I like who I am. So
yeah,
a lot
that's
of
okay, but
a lot
but
of dancing.
People like when people laugh at themselves. You know?
And I do that. I mean, I yeah. don't take myself serious. But you definitely get a little insight into my crazy childhood growing up with, you know, 6, you know, stepdads I never met, things
mm-hmm.
like that. You know, literally one time my sister was a little nuts too. She called me and we were talking and she goes, "Mama got married again." I said, oh, are you serious? She's like, yeah, she got married to this guy, Kara. And mom's running around telling everybody he's a pilot. You know, he works for, he's a pilot and making lots of money. Girl, I found out that he works at the Little Champ down the street. It is like a 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
Like she's telling everybody he's a pilot. He worked at like a freaking Little Champ. Anyway, so you know, crazy stuff like that. He worked at a Little Champ down the street.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. He makes donuts fly. That's about it, probably.
Probably. Yeah. So you know, crazy stuff like that. But it's just fun. I just I love having fun doing it. I jump on stage. Right. I wear fun outfits. I just have music going.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a comedy concert.
Yeah. Well, I have to make an effort to come. I'll really try to be there.
Yeah, you're going to do one foot in front of the other, and you're going to get in the car, and you're going to get your fast, cool car, and you're going to have fun and have a couple drinks and sit down and have a good time.
Yeah. But you're supposed to bring in people that don't know you, not necessarily friends.
Oh, well, right? I'm just putting it out there, but there's going to be a lot of people that, you know. It's a smaller, intimate club, but it's not just friends.
Is it cool?
Yeah, and Trace McDonald's headlining, who we've had on the show, so she's really funny. She's going to be doing her thing.
Oh, she's headlining.
Yeah.
Wow.
So she'll be doing a pretty cool, awesome set. And, you know, she's...
Is she pretty known?
Yeah, she won Star Search, and she's big in Canada, and, you know, she's been doing all the clubs out here and all over the U.S. And
really?
Yeah, she's doing really well.
That's pretty cool.
We'll get to see her stuff.
She won Star Search, huh?
Yeah,
That's impressive.
She did. She won $250,000 doing Star Search.
Oh, yeah, she told us that, didn't she?
Yeah.
Wow, why did I forget?
I don't know, but she's really funny.
She spent all the money, that's right.
Yeah. I think it's funny. Let's be honest about it.
Yeah.
It's like the lottery
winners. But it's cool that you guys became friends after she was here.
Yeah, she's super cool girl.
Yeah.
She's funny. So doing that, and then it's Garrett Morris's club, and he was on SNL. So.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, he's a cool dude. And so it's just going to be a fun night, you know? Mm-hmm. Real fun, high impact, funny, and high energy. So come out.
Sounds good.
$5, 8 o'clock.
What's it called again? Downtown what?
Downtown Los Angeles Comedy Club, or Downtown Club.
Oh.
Los Angeles Downtown Comedy Club, Comedy Club, Downtown Los Angeles Comedy Club. Something like that.
All right.
Yeah, good place.
You don't even know the name. How am I going to find it?
It's the Los Angeles Downtown Comedy Club.
Okay.
The Comedy Club Downtown Los Angeles. Figure it out. Like, you just reverse it, it all comes up. The club that's in downtown Los Angeles is comedy.
Yeah, Google's going to help us find it.
Google's going to rock it out for you. So, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
So, definitely come down.
Okay.
I'll make sure to embarrass you, Sam.
Yeah, you will, huh?
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Give it up, everybody, Sam.
Yeah, meet my co-host here. He's got an accent.
Yeah, right. That's funny.
Yeah. So, yesterday I was... going through the channels, surfing the channels on TV, and I landed on Discovery Channel where they have a show called Intervention.
Mm.
Have you heard of that one?
Yes, I've heard of Intervention.
It's pretty much what it's
very, very
it's
dramatic.
Called.
Yeah,
it is. It's very dramatic. I mean, they had this chick there, and the whole family is trying to show her that she's got a problem, but she doesn't see it.
What's the problem?
Alcohol.
Oh, okay.
And she drinks so friggin' much, like you wouldn't believe. You know, they followed her to the bars and shit. Or then, you know, she'll like run out of money, so she starts begging, and then she'll get like a big can or a bottle or something, and then call her friend to go to the park with her so she can drink.
How old is she?
She must have been like early 20s. I mean, she seemed to me like 21, 22.
That's awful.
Maybe. Yeah.
How does that happen?
I don't know, but people, well, you know, I mean, one of the things they showed is that her brother died at an early age, and that probably threw her into a tailspin. But she hasn't learned anything, I guess. I don't know. But, you know, so she was totally like refusing the intervention, you know. She was like in denial, in total denial.
She's like, no, I don't go to 10 bars before noon. What are you talking about?
Yeah, right.
Really? She said that? Did they show her the footage? Yeah. Like, look, this is you face down. You don't remember this because you're blacked out.
Yeah. Yeah, they showed her all that.
Mm.
But she doesn't think she has a problem.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's pretty sad shit, man.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's really, really crazy.
Yeah, but it's amazing that we love to watch that shit, you know?
Well, I mean, I think it's about transformation, and it's about, I mean, it's just like The Biggest Loser. I think what's cool about these shows and the Extreme Makeover, it's you get to see people change.
Right.
And grow, and I think that that's what's fascinating about it. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, yeah. It's like a train wreck, you know? But yeah, I mean, they use real people, so I think that's why it's interesting, you know? To watch real people having the same problems as you.
Are you an alcoholic now?
No, I mean in general, you know, addictions and shit, you know.
Yeah, I saw.
No, I'm glad I don't like alcohol. I mean, no. You know, I'll have a drink once in a while, but.
You don't need it. You know.
No, it has no attraction to me whatsoever.
Yeah, I understand. I watched an intervention of these two twin sisters that had anorexia.
Really?
And they
both did?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But when you went into their story, uh-huh. how they got there was very fascinating because they were twins. Mm-hmm. There was constant competition between the two of them, and it wow. ran really deep.
Mm.
So one girl was always a little more petite and in shape, and the other girl was a little bit huskier.
Right.
Well, then the girl that was always chunky, she got into like taekwondo or something in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And she ended up getting really, really good at it, and she got into really good shape.
Mm-hmm.
And then her sister decided, I want to do taekwondo too. But see, it used to be her other sister's thing.
Right.
And now they're both in the same sport.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, who can be the best at the sport?
Wow.
And
yeah.
then it became like, now, you know, they're both around the same shape and size. And now it became about who can be the skinniest,
right.
kind of.
Yeah.
So they ended up going to college. They lived in the same dorm. They lived, I mean, everything was them together.
Right.
And they ended up having to move back in with their family because it basically consumes their life. So when they walk into a room, they walk in one behind the other or side by side.
Mm.
And they eat the exact amount. They eat the exact same thing. They sleep in the same bed.
Yeah.
If one does an extra activity, like lift up a brush or lift up something or move something, the other one does it because they don't want to burn more calories.
Wow,
or less
totally
calories.
Obsessed, huh?
It's obsessed. And one of the saddest things was one of the girls, that she said, I don't want my sister to ever leave me. She goes, so I've promised her that I'll stay 3 pounds heavier than her.
Really?
So she eats, I don't know, like one more morsel.
Yeah.
And she's 3 pounds heavier than her sister. And she's crying right. saying this because she's doesn't want to be 3 pounds heavier, but
right.
she's willing to be 3 pounds heavier so that her sister will be thinner and that they'll stay together.
Wow.
It's really sad. Anyway, they were something like, you know, they were like 80 something pounds.
Mm.
It was
really,
yeah, they're in their 80 something pounds.
Wow.
You know, and it was just so sad, but they went through the intervention and they, both had to be separated because part of their disease was their codependency.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, twins have their own set of problems.
Yeah, clearly.
Yeah.
And they went to two separate facilities and they got help, and then it showed them, you know, months later, and they just looked good. They looked normal, and mm-hmm. they didn't have to be near each other every 2 seconds. And,
yeah. You wonder about anorexics, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like you look in the mirror and what they see is a fat person,
mm-hmm.
you know, where they're like, they're totally like, you know, like skins and bones, you know, that's
yeah.
all it is.
I saw a cartoon clipping that was really funny, like, you know, those little sketch drawings, and it had a woman looking in a mirror that was good looking, and it,
mm-hmm.
her reflection looked like a fatty.
Right.
And then it had a big dumpy dude looking in the mirror with butt crack cleavage, and he's looking in the mirror and he's like a total stud.
Yeah.
And just a commentary on how it's harder for women,
uh-huh.
you know?
Yeah. It is. It is harder.
Yeah.
There's a lot of pressure on women to look good, you know?
Yeah. So, anyway, but I look in the mirror and I think I see a pretty good... I think I see...
You like what you see?
I see my flaws, but
yeah.
I also see what I got good, and I just keep hoping that the good stuff just kind of overshadows the flaws, you know?
Yeah. So what are some of the flaws you see?
Yeah.
Do you care to share?
Oh, flaws? Do I want to share that stuff? Well, I mean, I'd like to be... you know, skinnier, I guess, in certain spots.
Mm.
But if I never get there, I'm definitely still going to love life. And I'm going to walk around feeling
right.
hot. You know what I mean? It's
yeah.
like tweaking, refining things, a little more muscle definition in certain areas.
And, right.
You know, those kind of things. But I know I'm not alone on somebody that, you know, feels that they would like to improve areas. But
right.
I feel like the temptation is you can't overly obsess about what you want to improve, because
right.
then you become crazy and then you can't appreciate anything you have.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes we just have to stop and go, wait a minute, I can walk, I can see,
yeah.
I can run, I have an able body, and just be grateful that we're healthy, you know? I mean,
yeah.
it's kind of funny that we get so zero-centered on and fixed on the littlest things, and
yeah.
then we're like, I'm not enough, and it's like, wait a minute, what if you couldn't run, or what if you're in a wheelchair or you're a quadriplegic for years, and then you were able to actually walk? I mean, you wouldn't care if you had a pooch.
Right.
You wouldn't care about a little crop of cellulite. You'd be like, woo,
you'd be running and dancing and jumping, and you go walk everywhere. You'd be like, screw a car. I don't want a car.
Yeah.
You know, you'd be like, hey, I'll meet you in 5 hours. I'm walking.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you would just be so happy to be alive in that area.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I do.
So, so anyway, I would definitely, you know, just try to keep a good perspective of just being grateful, you know?
Yeah.
And that's a struggle, you know, staying positive and staying grateful, especially when we live in a society where everywhere you turn, you're told to look one specific way.
Right.
You know, and constantly, you know, it's constantly really guarding yourself and being grounded that, okay, well, you know what, even though this is what I'm being influenced to being pressured to look like, I'm just going to take care of my body and be grateful and live life, you know?
Yeah. So. I mean, did any guys ever...
give me shit?
Yeah, give you shit about your weight and things like that?
Well, I don't think I have a weight problem. And two, I think that they're really grateful to be in the game with me.
I see.
I think they're like a little bit like, wow, you know, without going into details. yeah, I mean, I'm not a size zero, but I'm like a size eight.
But you embrace it.
Yeah, I'm a size eight. We don't need to have intervention over somebody that's a size eight.
No intervention.
Yeah, and I think that if a man's looking for something that is different than me, he needs to just, you know, look for something different.
Yeah, look elsewhere.
Yeah, instead of changing somebody.
Yeah, but many people don't realize that, you know? They think it's their job to change you.
Well, I don't think I need to be changed, number one. I don't have a problem. And but number two, I think that, you know, there's something for everybody out there.
Mm-hmm.
And the guys I attract are attracted to me in the beginning for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
So then why would they then have a problem? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If they're going to... I mean, they're not going to, like, be attracted to me and then be like, wait a minute, you're not a size zero? What?
Yeah.
I'd be like, what, you didn't see, you know, this isn't false advertising here, you know? No, I mean, I definitely, you know, don't have a problem with it. In fact, you know, I'm not trying to sound arrogant or anything, but
yeah.
I get a lot of daily, you know, activity.
You haven't told us about dating lately. Have you been
I haven't been dating. No, I haven't been dating.
Yeah.
Got busy. I'm just busy right now. I have a lot going on.
I see.
And I haven't really been thinking about it. And I did get back from Texas and I reconnected with my ex and we're still really in close contact. And there's just something about that connection that kind of overshadows anything stupid. So
really?
It doesn't mean that we're going to be together forever. It just means that, it just doesn't make it as exciting, I guess. The LA is just an illusion. I mean, it really is going to be a miracle if I meet the right guy out here.
No, I don't think so.
Are you kidding me? No, I mean, I'm not saying I won't meet a guy. I'm just saying, like...
There's so many people here. It's just a question of finding the right one, you know? Sometimes it takes a while, but you'll find someone. There's a lot of great people here, you know? There really are. You just have to look for them.
Yeah.
So are you still on that online dating site, or...
I'm not going to lie. I have a profile that I haven't taken down, but I'll be honest... I you know, just look at it from time to time, but I'm really rarely on it.
Yeah, so you're not actively pursuing
it
right
now. No, I'm not.
Now.
It's fun to go on dates and have stories to tell you guys, but I don't know, you kind of get over it.
Yeah.
It's kind of, it's just not, I don't know, it gets old. It's like the person needs to be really cool.
Yeah.
I don't meet a lot of really, I mean, I meet interesting people, I don't meet a lot of really super cool dudes.
Really?
No.
Yeah.
No. But
you're
it's okay.
In the wrong places, maybe.
I'm not looking at all, but I'm just saying when I randomly meet guys or whatever, they're kind of all the same.
Yeah.
Kind of all
really?
The same. Yeah.
That's interesting.
There's just the wow factor is just not there. Mm. You know?
Yeah.
They want to look good. They want to have somebody that makes them look good. They want to, you know, it seems to be like a very physical thing, you know, like really looking to hook up. And
yeah.
And I mean, there's so much of that that even if there are people out there that aren't into just going straight there, you have to weed out all of that.
Yeah.
You know? So, but life is good. I'm happy, girl.
Good.
You know?
You just keep weeding them out and you'll be good.
I will.
All right. It's that time, Kira. Thank you all for joining us.
Thank you.
And we'll be back here tomorrow.
Been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and originates from the Los Angeles Talk Radio studios. For questions regarding the show or to learn more about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondents to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.